it's a busy time, right? And things are getting busier, and the holidays are almost here, and we're wondering, do we get together? Do we not get together? And, you know, COVID's a reality. And so here's what I titled my teaching this morning. I'm a mess because of all the stress. I mean, has anybody been there? I'm just a mess because of all the stress. And sometimes we can let stress get the best of us. And we all know that every bit of stress isn't bad. Sometimes stress actually helps us to get things done that we know we need to get done. But there's that point where stress becomes extreme or just extended too long, and we're like, okay, this is just too hard. And there's an example in the Bible of somebody who had a lot of stress. And it was Elijah, and his stress actually came from doing good. He wanted to live for God. He wanted to proclaim the things about God, and he stood up against false prophets who were trying to lead God's people astray, and he encounters major stress, and because of that, his life's a mess. Well, have you ever thought of this term, or misery loves company? Misery loves company. Does that mean that an unhappy person, hey, Zach, I can hear you. Hi. Zach, I want you to answer this. Misery loves company. Does that mean that an unhappy person is trying to be around happy people to make them more happy? Or does it mean misery loves company, and because I'm miserable, I think that you ought to be miserable too? What do you think, Zach? Well, all right, good call. Interestingly, this term actually comes out of a play from the 1600s. There's a man named Dr. Fausta. He plays in this play, and he's just given up hope. And so he meets an advocate of the devil. And he says, I will sign my life away to be with the devil when I die if you'll give me 24 years of life and I get everything I want. And so this doctor asks the agent of the devil, why is it that the devil would do all of this and he's trying to build his kingdom? And the representative of the devil looks at this doctor and he says this, well, misery loves company. And if misery loves company, well, then I'm just super thankful for Elijah because his life is all messed up. And so, you know, we're not going to feel bad today if you're just overwhelmed. You're like, man, my life is stressed out. Elijah, listen to kind of what goes on here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I don't make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And it goes on and it says, and when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah is so depressed right now. He's so stressed out that he says, I think my life isn't worth living. I read an article recently about pastors. It says pastors who are falling on their own swords. There's been a lot of pastors who have been taking their own lives, and I read an article on the why. And pastors have been, I'm not at that point, but I'm just telling you, we're all stressed out, and everyone can get to that point. Well, I read this with our staff, and they're like, Jim, are you okay? I'm like, well, I'm not okay, but I'm not there. And a lot of times we can just have so much stress and so much going on that we actually devalue our own lives. And this article that I read was very interesting about the stress on pastors during this time. Some pastors have had church like we are, and we do everything to protect you. But a pastor's good friend got COVID, and his friend died, and he was just a wreck. And then not being able to see people in the hospital and trying to become TV preachers and all of these things. And everybody has a lot of stress, and Elijah did too. He says, I'm better off dead than alive. My life is so difficult and burdensome that I think being dead would be better than the way I'm living right now. And stress can have a way to depreciate our self-worth. And there's more that it does. It says here, it goes on in verse 9 and 10, and then he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said this to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life. Elijah not only feels bad about who he is, and this is what stress can do to us, now he feels bad about what he does. It's not just, God, I'm a failure. Everything I'm doing is a failure. My work, it's all in vain. God, I punch a clock, you know, from 8 to 4. I come home and, you know, I'm not making a difference. Life doesn't matter, and what I do doesn't matter. I'm a prophet. I've been trying to tell people about you, and nobody cares. And then he goes on and he says in that, I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me too. Now, he does have a problem here with that. I mean, this wicked lady is actually trying to kill him. So we're not going to say that that's really not a problem, because it actually is. But what happens when we're stressed out, and this is what happened to Elijah as well, it's like, I'm the only one. You know, everybody else has it good. It's just my life, God. Have you ever been there? You know, your stress turns your life into a mess, and you're like, how come it looks like everybody else is perfect and my life is a wreck? Well, you know, you read a little bit further along in there, and God speaks to Elijah and says, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. You're not the only one. As a matter of fact, there are thousands of other prophets that have set themselves apart for me. And I think it's so easy when things are hard to say, I don't have any worth. And what I do doesn't matter anyway. Why do I even do this? And then we can say, you know, it's so bad, and it's not so bad for everyone else. It's just bad for me. And stress makes our life a mess. And since misery loves company, it's even worse for him. I mean, let's just keep reading about this guy. One of the things that he does, I think it's probably the hardest thing that he does. He forfeits the dreams that God put in his heart. If you look at verse 4, Elijah says, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. In other words, my dreams of making a difference, the great spokesman of God that I so wanted to be, I'm no different than those who came before me. They didn't make a difference. They killed them. They're going to kill me. It doesn't matter. And he begins to give up on his dreams. He begins to give up on the fact that God actually has a purpose for his life and that God actually called him to make a difference. And you see, this is what stress does. Stress makes us think, you know, I'm worth nothing. What I do is worth nothing. And any dream that I had of God using me and actually that my life would matter for eternity, I'm just like everyone who came before me. And, you know, you're born, you go to work, you die, and there you have it. I mean, he's really down. And I am so thankful that it just doesn't stop there. It's encouraging me to be reminded in terms of stress that stress didn't just start in 2020. Although it's kind of stressful, you know, and tell me how many of us thought, okay, Friday the 13th, why do we think that's a bad day? I don't know. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Friday the 13th is going to be worse because it's 2020. And how many people have I heard to say, well, it's 2020, it doesn't surprise me. Well, I'm still surprised at how bad it is. I'm still surprised that I'm stressed out. I'm still surprised that, you know, I'm wearing a mask in church and I'm not against that. But I thought all this was going to be fixed. We do need some good news. We really do. And I think if you look at what goes on in Elijah's life, it sheds some light on the fact that stress has been around since the beginning of time. It's just different things that happen, but this man is stressed out big time. He doesn't like who he is and says, I wish I was not here. He doesn't like what he does and says, I don't make a difference anyway. And he says, you know what? Those dreams that I had of really doing a good job and making a difference, I'm just like the guys before me, and none of it matters. And there are a couple of thoughts here, four actually, I would call them timeless solutions that we can apply to our lives practically even this week. And you know that as the holidays come, and Christmas comes, and just all of the dynamics of that, it's a time where we can be not just stressed out, but stress can make our lives a mess, and so what do we do about it? I think the first solution is, it worked for Elijah, and it was to rest his body. He had expended great amounts of energy fighting for the things of God. And We read in the scripture, it says, he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. After he rested, the angel touched him and told him to get up and eat. This is super important because he didn't just fall asleep. God helped him to relax and then fall asleep. So I watched this show last night. It was called something like Declassifying the FBI. It's about some bomber in Texas with the packages. And so, I mean, I watched this like at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock last night, right before I went to bed. Then I thought, oh, I'll just look out the front window. And there's a truck parked out there. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And I'm trying to look. I'm like, oh, their windows are tinted. These are bad people. So I turned on the lights outside, and I went and unlocked my safe. And I'm just confessing all this. You know, I didn't load my gun. I got to be ready. Oh, wait, that's down there. I mean, for me, if you broke into our house, I'd have to say, stop. I have to go downstairs. I have to remember the code for my safe, and that's on my phone. So I have to pull out my phone, get the code. Then I have to unlock the safe. Then nothing's loaded in there. And I'm like, okay, I got to load this. So could you hold up? So all this is going through my head. I'm like, how do I protect Sharon? She's upstairs, I'm downstairs, and there is a really rotten person out front. This was crazy. Well, what it did is it got me all amped up. So I'm like, you know, after I, of course, yeah, I called the police. I'm like, there's a very suspicious person out front. Do you see the license plate? Well, no, I can't go out there. Why? They're bad. Their windows are tinted. No one's ever parked in front of our house. This is somebody who's casing the neighborhood, and I think they're going to break in. I'm like, okay, I'll send somebody to get you and take you to get some help. No, not me. No, the guy, the awful person. And so I wait. I'm like, are these policemen not in a hurry? I mean, what are you doing at 10 o'clock at night? Nothing. I have an almost emergency. Well, and then I'm walking around, and the policeman, he came so fast, and I didn't see, like, you know, was there an altercation? Did he put the guy on the ground? I mean, nothing. Truck's still there. Okay. Well, finally they left. But this is how we can get, I was a little amped up at that time, right? And we have this little alarm. I put the alarm on the house. I'm like, I'm probably going to get up, walk, set the alarm off, and the police will come for me, and I probably need it. Have you ever been like where you go to sleep, but you're not going to sleep? Do not watch FBI Declassified and have a truck in front of your house. It's just bad. But see, things around us can affect us. You're like, well, Pastor, did you pray? Of course I prayed. But then I thought God wanted me to help. And that was where I probably got into trouble. And, you know, for Elijah, this is what's so great. God helped him rest. And remember, he's out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, how did a, like, cake of bread and water show up? Oh, that's just normal in the woods, a cake and bread. No, it's because God said, you have got to lower the stress. And I'm here not only to help you lay down, I'm here to help you rest your soul. And I'm here to provide for you. But you know when we get stressed out, like last night, I'm like, I got to take this on. Okay, if I can get Sharon, I can say, stay in the room and lock the door, push the dresser in front of the door. And you do that stuff, and I do that stuff when we get stressed out, and most of the time, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It is. But understand, when we get so stressed out in life, we can forget that there is a God who literally cares about us. He wants us to rest our souls. And that's the first thing that happens with Elijah. Hey, you've got to not just lay down, but you've got to sleep. Here's something else I think was important to Elijah, and I don't think this is bad. He released his frustration. He's like, hey, God, I don't really want to be alive. And don't forget, God, you called me. I've done everything you wanted me to do. I've been zealous. I have done this and this and this and this. And thank you, God, they're trying to kill me now that I'm following you. That's not a bad thing to do. See, God's, it's kind of hard. I feel like I'm the only one. Like I'm trying to do the right things. How come other people that I think who've deserted you are prospering more than I am? God, everyone has deserted you. I'm the only one. Some beautiful prayers in the Bible of people whose lives are a mess because of stress, and they cry out to God. And they even question, God, where are you? What is going on? And, you know, there's sometimes we understand, like, there's the source of things. And Elijah says, this is what's going on, and this is why. And if we were to be totally honest today, there's times where we have unrealistic expectations and they give us a lot of stress. Like, God, I think it should be like this, and I got this planned out like this, and it didn't go like this. And we have unrealistic expectations. And then there's times where, like, we really pray and we're trying to seek God just like Elijah, and it didn't turn out the way he wanted it to turn out. I mean, I stood up and I was bold. And I cut down those who are trying to take your children away from you. And time out, it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And then there's just sometimes in the world where there's not justice. And I think that it's easy to think that justice delayed is justice denied. And that's not the same. I mean, God's going to even the score in this world. And sometimes bad people do bad things and it seems like they get away with it. I mean, that almost happened at my house last night, but thank the Lord I was prepared. You know, in all seriousness, there's a point in which at some time in your life, you're going to have to either let something destroy you as a person, or you're just going to have to come to the conclusion, life's not always fair. It's just how it is. You're a believer, you're strong in the Lord, and life's not going to be always fair. It's just how it is. And Elijah, at least he said, God, I don't like where I'm at. And this is where I'm going. Here's another thing that I think really helped Elijah. It was to refocus and to get his focus back on God. If you read a little further down in the scriptures, the Lord spoke to Elijah and said this, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord." Like there was a little wind last night. On this mountain, there was some wind. I mean, like, it was crazy. Wind and an earthquake, and the whole, like, world is blowing up around Elijah. And he's getting really focused right now because he's thinking, God's going to kill me. I said I don't want to live, and this is my time to go. I mean, he's tuned in on the Lord. And the scripture says that God wasn't in this crazy wind that was blowing the mountain around, and God wasn't in the earthquake that was, you know, causing rocks to fall and all of this, but that God was in the whisper. Elijah, you're focused on everything big. Big winds, big earthquakes, big to-do. Elijah, I want you to focus on me. Quiet your spirit. You're so amped up. What do you want me to do? Blow up a mountain to let you know I'm in charge? What do you want me to do? To have the wind blow a mountain over that you know I'm in charge? Elijah, I don't need a big wind to prove I'm God. I don't need to blow this mountain apart with an earthquake to prove to you I'm God. I want you to get back on track. Is this not true? Sometimes in our stress and our busyness and the burdens and the pressure, we lose focus. We lose focus and don't spend time praying. We lose focus and don't spend time in the timeless principles of God's word that actually build us up. And God was saying to Elijah, time out here a minute. I know it looks hard, but I am in control. When we put our focus on God, we can rest easier because we're not poised to have to take on the whole world. We're not postured to have to carry all of the burdens of the world and things that are not just upon our shoulders. When we put our focus back on God, it literally eliminates stress. But it's not easy to do all the time. And right now, you know, there's days where my life is a little bit of a mess because there's so much stress. So many things going on. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And have you felt that? Like, I don't know what to do. Here's another thing that happened. We'll kind of wrap up here. Elijah was encouraged to resume serving others. Hey, Elijah, you need to rest. And let me give you rest and provision. Elijah, I don't mind if you tell me anything. I'm a God who cares. Tell me everything that's going on. I mean, you may exaggerate it. You may not get the whole picture, but God, go ahead and tell me. You know, Elijah, tell God, tell him. Get your focus on me. And Elijah, you know what? I know you've got, you know, you're beat up. I get it and all that, but you need to get back in the game. You need to get back in the game. The scripture says this in verse 15. I want you to go back to Israel. You have a job to do. It is amazing what happens to people when they can take their focus off of themselves and put their focus on serving others. It is amazing what happens to us because intrinsically we're selfish. And especially in America, we anticipate life is going to go our way when we want it. And God, that's what you need to understand. Right? And we forget that it is better to serve than be served. And so God says to him, you need to get back in the game. You're not finished yet. Not only did God say to him, you need to get back into the game, he gave him another opportunity. It was a young prophet that needed to be mentored. Hey, Elijah, I know you're beat up and I know this crazy woman's trying to kill you, but you need to rest. You need to let me know what's going on. You need to focus on me, and then you need to get back out there and do what I've called you to do. Because what you don't know is there's a young prophet who you have to raise up because he's going to take over. Like when I beam you up, he's got to take over. You're going to get out of here on a chariot of fire. It's going to be all good. But in the meantime, you've got a job to do. And I think what happens in life is that we get beat up and we get so focused on the inside, we can become paralyzed. Hey, even the people at home who can't be here, there's something that God wants you to do. There absolutely is. You can pray. You can call somebody and encourage them. You can drive by somebody's house and put something on their porch that says, God cares about you. There's things we can do. And what a blessing we can be. You're not blessed to be blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. And this is what God spoke into his heart. And if you want to reduce your stress, take a nap. I mean, some of you, I don't need to tell you that in church. I just kind of love it. I say, oh, look, they're praying. I'd say, I don't mind if you sleep. It's not like I'm that exciting that I can keep you awake. And some of you need a good nap. And if church is the only place you can take it, it's wonderful. Not only do you need a nap, you need to let God give you rest in your soul. And maybe even today, you need to be a little more honest with God. Like you actually are angry at God, but you're pretending you're not and you think he doesn't know. I'm not talking to him. I don't want to read. He knows. And it's okay. It's okay. Some of us need to have an honest conversation with God and say, I feel like I'm the only one who's just beat to tar. And some of us are having more stress than we ought to because we're on the sidelines and we've never got back in the game. We don't have purpose. God has you breathing because He has a plan for you. God has you breathing because there is one more person in this world that you can touch for the glory of God. God has a purpose for you, and He has a purpose for me. And Elijah was done. And God said, get back in the game. Because there's somebody you've got to mentor. You've got to lift them up. They're not going to know what to do unless you do this. And any of you has hair colored like mine, you need to be doing that. Because there's a lost generation that doesn't understand principles. They don't understand some of the things that people who have a little gray hair understand. But if we're not willing to lift them up, to encourage them along the way, they're not going to know. This is what God told Elijah. Pour your life into somebody else and develop them. And I know the last couple of months I've traveled quite a bit. And I've poured my life into young ministers who are just getting beat up because half of us don't know what to do and we're all kind of stupid. I mean, it just kind of happens. And they're so encouraged that somebody would just come alongside of them and say, let me help you here. I'm not the only one who needs to do that. You need to do that. You have life skills I don't have. You have purpose and things that God has shown you and taught you that He's never shown me or taught me that somebody else needs to know. And it helps your stress. There's no joke. When I came back from some of my speaking, we had our staff meeting, I said, I'm so thankful to be here. I said, now there's some stress going on over there. I'm so thrilled. Let me kind of wrap things up and just say what I wrote down here. Stress is always going to be part of our lives. Stress that makes us a mess doesn't have to be. But you and me choose to apply God's principles to our lives. Or we don't. And today, we've looked at a couple of practical principles that will absolutely help us so we don't have to walk around when people look at us and we're not looking and they say, yeah, misery loves company. I don't want people to say that about me. Yeah, hang around with Jim and you're going to be miserable. I want people to say, hang around with Jim and at night when there's a car outside that looks bad, he'll protect everybody. Oh, that's so dumb. So dumb. Even this morning, are they there? I even thought in the middle of the night, the wind's blowing, oh, they're stealing stuff off of my deck. But it's not worth dying for. So I'm going to stay in bed and hopefully they don't get in the house. Have you ever had crazy, just dumb thoughts? Of course you have. You're human. And we have a tendency to do that kind of stuff. Here's what I want to remind you of today. Here in the building in Hope at Home, we can't lose heart. And I want to pray for you. Have you really felt like giving up? Have you really felt like who you are isn't enough? Have you really felt like what you do doesn't matter? Have you really felt like anything you've ever dreamed of, it's all shattered and you don't even have a reality that's worth going forward for? Have you just said dreams are for young people? And the only dreams I've been living are nightmares? I want to pray for you that the God of hope will give you hope today. I want to pray for you that He'll help you to refocus. I want to pray for you that He's going to help you. He's going to help you to bear your heart to Him so that you can be in relationship. I want to pray for you just that God would remind you, you are so valuable. You absolutely matter. Can we do that just for a minute? Father, thank you. Thank you for real life examples in the Bible that relate to us. I feel bad for Elijah, but I'm really thankful that you gave him the ability to rest. And God, I pray for anyone today who's struggling with rest in their soul, that stress has made them a mess and they can't sleep like they want to. And Lord, you helped him rest. And I pray for everyone who can hear me that if they're struggling with that, God, that you would help them to rest. And God, I thank you for Elijah when he felt like his life was just so ordinary. And that it really didn't matter, that you reminded him he does matter and that you have called him. God, you said you have called us. You have called us. You have purposed us. God, anyone who devalues themselves and devalues what they do right now, I pray that they would realize they're not working for a paycheck. They're working for you, and you've got a plan, and you can use them at whatever job they're doing to make an impact for the kingdom of God. God, sometimes I envy the people that I get to serve because I don't get to be out in the world as much. I don't get my job to be in the world that I can make a difference. I envy these people that they get to go to a workplace and be a light. God, help them to realize they've got so much purpose, so much importance. And God, I pray that we would do a little introspection and say, are we serving or just wanting to be served? God, make us so blessed in order that we might be even more of a blessing. Father, help us. It's so easy to come to church and yet be hurting inside. So easy to say hi and give somebody a hug or a smile, but we're hurting inside. God, for all of those at home, some feeling lonely, some feeling isolated, some wanting to do things and they just feel like they can't. Lord, there is a purpose. In Jesus' name, I pray for these wonderful people. I pray for all of us, Lord, especially as things get ramped up here for the holidays. They're stressful enough. And with everything else going on, God, we need you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen, amen. I'll tell you what, I'm just thrilled that you made time to be here today. I'm thrilled that Hope at Home, you're taking time to watch today. And I truly mean this with all my heart, that God would richly bless you, that he'd keep you close, that his face would radiate on you to the point that you have peace in your heart. In Jesus' precious name, I love you all so much. God bless you. Have a great week.